Okay, psychic powers. I think in general, like the word psychic in this is, you know what, I don't even understand why sort of that was put in there, because in general, people think of it as being like some sort of being able to tell the future kind of thing. But I think what Jesus is referring to is just any sort of power or ability. And if you think about it, what humans consider to be unusual power is only the ability to communicate with parts of the sonship, parts of the whole that are not in the vicinity of the body. You know, like it's the ability to communicate with those parts and affect those parts. That's, I think, you know, in my mind, what Jesus is referring to. So, you know, it's pretty simple. The whole premise of a miracle is the sharing of power. It's the sharing of our one identity. You know what I mean? So, if it's all about the sharing, then how could one choose to use power against someone else? How could I choose to use some power to make my brother feel, you know, inferior to me? So it's just bullshit. This is just saying, like, A, you can't use power for that, and B, you'll never know that you have it unless you share it. So, I mean, that's the thing. You know, like, I've experienced things in my life that really are out of this world, and people would say, you know, people have said it to me many times, like, Tom, how did you do that? How did that happen? How did you make that happen? And that sort of thing either gives me opportunity to share power, or it gives me opportunity to make myself think that I am, you know, being worshipped by my brother. And that, like, I've seen that happen in my mind where someone would say, oh, Tom, how did this happen? How did you do that? And, like, you can almost feel the ego smiling. But to me, it just feels icky. If I just accept that attitude from my brother, it literally feels like shit to me, because I know I am denying the miracle. I'm denying the purpose for which I was given power, and for which we were all given power. And if I go down that road and I help others to believe that I have more power than they do, then I am just so screwing myself. This is huge, that we understand that the miracle and reality is all about a shared identity and a shared power. That's why this is the whole problem with the way that, you know, the whole secret is being used by some people. You know, I can develop this power of manifesting. Well, whoopty fucking do. What are you gonna do with what you manifest? You know? So, for me, it's simple. I either share everything or I keep everything to myself. So I'm gonna go with the sharing, because it seems to work. And it seems to sort of take me off the hook as being sort of responsible for arranging anything. And in this way, like, as I share the knowledge of my power, that power is used naturally through me, and I don't even have to understand how it is, what it is, blah, blah, blah. It just happens. So, like, for me, I'm psychic when I need to be. I don't even think about it. This is, for me, not about the development of power. It is about being in the practice of keeping my will joined with that of the sonship. And so that way, I'm not working against the sonship. I'm not working against myself. I'm working in conjunction with everything, and in conjunction with the power that is not of this world. So that's why miraculous things happen in my life, simply because I just let them be. I don't go around picking and choosing about how I should use my power, because if I try to, I can't use my power. I will lose awareness of my power instantaneously because I'm giving it to an isolated mind, a separate mind that wants to use it. Whereas when I leave it where it is, it just gets used through me and on my own behalf without involving any sort of real decision making on my part. Everything is offered to me, and all I have to do is accept it. Whatever miracles will happen, whatever miracles have already happened, they were offered and accepted. And the acceptance of miracles, the acceptance of the power that is in all of us, is the willingness to share it. Do I want all of my brothers to have awareness of their own power? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, then I will have awareness of mine, and if the answer is no, then I will not have awareness of my own. As simple as that. And it is very, 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 very tempting for the ego to think ahead, oh, well, if I do the Course in Miracles, maybe I'll learn to fucking levitate or something. Well, you might levitate, but you levitate only one time. So, I'm just using a silly example, but that's kind of what I'm saying. So, you know, the miracle is about the sharing of power. End of story. We can close down Pal Talk, we can do whatever, because that's it. It's the sharing of power. Okay, and actually, one more thing I wanted to say. Somewhere in the course, I don't know where, I can't give you a precise thing. Jesus says that the miracle is the acknowledgement of your creative power and your brother's creative power. So let's all take that home and let's just share our power, man. That's all we have to do. Okay, I'm handing the mic to Teddy. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Actually, I really enjoy this section. I really enjoy this section and it has helped me immensely. You know, it's like it's funny because in the Western world, as opposed to the Eastern world, we really don't have the tradition of what they call the East Siddhis, which are psychic powers. And the truth of the matter is that we're more in tune to science. We believe science more than we believe science of the mind or Eastern traditions. And in the East, it's the exact opposite way. They're more in tune with their spirituality is actually as rigid as our science is because it's ingrained in their society. Like their society has the caste system, and spiritual seeking and spiritual teachers are included in the caste system. So it's an establishment. Like it's an establishment, it's a bureaucracy over there. It's ingrained in society, whereas science is ingrained into our society. So we don't tend to believe this idea of these cities or these psychic powers. But they've been exploring the mind for a number of years, and while they haven't got it right yet, when you do loosen your mind from the fixed position, there are a number of things that can occur. When I went through my revelatory period, and after when I met the master teacher at Endeavor Academy, there were a lot of energetic, psychic sort of powers that I stumbled upon without actually knowing how or why. I just knew my mind was looser, and there were ways in which I could affect people, and there were several ways that were predominant. Number one was actually extending energy and having people feel energy. Another way was actually allowing people to see lights, have momentary experiences of awakening. I could manipulate the energetics in a room so that everybody felt elevated and they felt like they were in sort of like a revelatory experience. And the truth of the matter is, there came a point in time, and not everybody who hung around the old man could do that, But there were a few of us who actually learned how to do it, and we learned how to use it and manipulate the energy. To show people that something happened, it was useful. But, you know, there came a point in time when I knew that it was no longer helpful. It wasn't helpful for me for the exact reason that they're talking about in the section, because it becomes an ends in and of itself, and you actually think you arrive someplace. You think you arrive someplace because your mind is looser than someone else's, or it stumbled upon these powers, and it doesn't necessarily have any meaning. It doesn't mean anything, actually. And the other side of the coin was this. The people would come to participate in the phenomena, and they loved the phenomena. They loved me to have them see lights. They loved me to hurl energy at them. They loved me to, like, make them have these experience of awakenings. They loved to sit around and have the room energized the way it was. But what I found was when the energy field collapsed, nobody was actually paying attention to the teaching itself, so that nobody was actually using the course to train their minds, and I was like a sideshow. So it sort of became ridiculous. And at that point in time, that's when I realized that it was no longer useful for me to teach that way, and it was no longer useful for people to come and sit around me if that's what they were interested in. So I made the decision, I made a conscious decision to no longer desire the use of psychic powers, unless, of course, they were going to be useful based on the atonement, rather than just stuff that I could manipulate and have people observe the manipulation of. It was just not useful. So I underwent a process of retooling where I consciously made a decision to no longer use them. Now, the interesting thing about that was, one of the things that was emphasized right after I came out of that retooling was this: all worldly states are illusory. All worldly states are illusory. It doesn't matter the nature of the worldly state, be it imbued with psychic powers or not. It doesn't matter the nature of what you think your spiritual experience is. All worldly states are illusory. So when you see some of these gurus and you think that they're sitting in some high spiritual state as compared to a spiritual state or not being in one, that worldly state of that guru is just as illusory as any other worldly state that there may be. There is no true worldly state. All worldly states are illusory, and it is the purpose that you put your mind to, not the state that you achieve and attempt to maintain. Attempting to maintain any worldly state, I don't care what it is, the highest spiritual state anyone has ever attained. And you would look at, like, in a sense, that would be someone like Ramana Maharshi, because I was allowed to operate in the same state of mind as Ramana Maharshi was in. The highest spiritual state still contains the ability to have an unhealed split mind. And it is about the healing of the split within the mind, and we call that the atonement principle. And it is about the recognition that the atonement is the goal, and all worldly states are illusory. And the purpose is to allow the illusion to leave our minds, so we return to a condition of our natural creation wherein which the ability for there to be an illusion is precluded. There is no worldly state, there is no spiritual state that has more or less value than the state that any one of you find yourself in, because the state you find yourself in is the one that's most advantageous for you to be able to apply today's lesson or learn of the Holy Spirit right here, right now, what you need to learn. So the idea, and he says it in the course, all worldly states are illusory. It is the healing of the split of the mind, or atonement, which sooner or later, he says, all men will make the decision to heal. Okay? If you go to the Eastern tradition and you see some of these yogis doing these incredible things, you may say that they have control of the power of their mind, but that doesn't mean that they've accepted the atonement for themselves and decided to use their mind for the healing of the split. That's the difference between A Course in Miracles and every other discipline. It is the decision. the acknowledgement of the error in the mind and the willingness to do what it takes to heal the split and turn the power over to the use of the atonement. That's the difference between A Course in Miracles and anything else that's in the world. The ability to listen to the voice within guides you specifically as to how that is accomplished by you, and that the how you play your part in the plan is the difference in absolutely every other spiritual tradition, because it is not in any other tradition. The attempt to achieve spiritual states, the attempt to achieve what they term awakening or realization, which is really, in a sense, a defined state within the system of thought in order to preserve a hierarchy and a tradition, is not the purpose of A Course in Miracles. All worldly states are illusory. All power that exhibits any state and tries to make it real is illusory. If it is useful for you in the awakening, so be it. And if it is useful for you to a brother in the awakening, so be it. But remember, you use it loosely until it is time to be put aside, because it's just a toy along the way that you may get to use for a second. But the addiction to any toy is possible when the split in the mind remains intact. And the split in the mind always contains the ability to have an authority problem. And the authority problem will always say, I know better and this works. It's not true. All worldly states are illusory, bar none. So you can believe this or not. I mean, you guys don't know me. A lot of you have never met me. A lot of you have heard stories about my past. The truth of the matter is, I had a ton of psychic powers. They were useful for a moment, and then they became a detriment. When I realized the detriment, I fooled around with them for a little while, but I realized this isn't helping me. It is not helping me, and it's not helping my brothers. And it kept us stagnant. Yeah, we thought we were having fun, but it kept us stagnant. And the willingness to let go of even the highest state you've achieved, and it may be a joyful one, is what is required in order to leave the illusion behind. Do you understand that? Letting go of what we think are the joyous states is how we leave the illusion behind. Not letting go of the fearful ones. Not letting go of the horrifying ones, letting go of the states of mind in which we think we're doing good and we're having a good time in the world is a necessity if you want to leave the illusion and return to your reality. So that's all I'm going to say right now, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Teddy. That was the perfect addition to this section. Let us all look at Teddy as an example of one who has experienced both sides of this coin. So he's saying to all of us that, yeah, we all have freaking psychic powers and all that stuff. We develop them, but we can end up putting it in the hands of the ego, and then it just becomes useless. So yeah, thanks, Teddy. So I'll drop the mic for Lisa to say goodbye to everyone. Thank you.
Last thing I'll say is, again, what this reading says is that it's not whether or not we have the abilities. We have the abilities. It's to whether or not they are wanted and needed by the Holy Spirit and given to the Holy Spirit to use by the Holy Spirit. I also had experiences, one in particular, where I was, for a time period, I don't know how I learned this, but I just knew, it just happened, how to move energy around a person's body. And so if somebody had pain in a certain part of their body, I was able to remove the pain for a certain period of time by moving the concentration of energy away from that part of the person's body down and spread it out evenly around their body. But a funny thing started to happen with some people, especially when I did it with my grandmother, where the pain would come back twice as much, according to her. Now, of course, I didn't feel her pain, so I wouldn't know, but I'm telling you, that was a wake-up call to me, because to me, I was saying, well, why was I doing that? And that really is what it comes down to. So when I asked the Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? The Holy Spirit said, give it to me. It's almost like here is a children's toy, maybe a BB gun, and I can hit my brother with it. But, in reality, he's like, all right, hand over the BB gun. It really doesn't matter. However, Holy Spirit could have just as easily said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do in the world. I will do this, turn it over to me, but be available because I will want to use this ability, quote unquote, to work through you. And that would have been fine too. But when the Holy Spirit said to stop completely and to turn it over, I was able to turn it over, stop, and give it completely over to the Holy Spirit and found a greater deal of peace afterwards. So that's just one example. There are others, but I do understand exactly what you're saying, Teddy, and I am so grateful that you joined us. When I asked you to take the microphone, I felt this astounding, joyous yes from the Holy Spirit to request that of you. And I'm so grateful that you joined us because you were the perfect third part to this. So at this time, it is time to close. Thank you so much. It looks like we're going to be doing Wednesday and Friday next week of the Manual for Teachers, since we only did one section today, but it was perfect. I am very grateful. So thank you again, Teddy, and thank you, Tom. And now I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Dove. And again, this will be posted on gentlelessons.com in the next couple of days. Thank you.